Today's Bible passage is from the book of Genesis, chapter 39, verses 1 through 23. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home, and she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. The story of Joseph begins in Genesis chapter 37, and then shifts to Judah's story in chapter 38. The focus returns to Joseph in chapter 39. We witness Joseph's suffering in these chapters, specifically Genesis chapter 39 and 40. His journey reflects a common theme. Joseph endured hardship to achieve glory, much like Jesus did ultimately. As followers of Christ, we too must face suffering on our path to heavenly glory. Joseph's struggles serve as a testament to Jesus' life and experience. Understanding the lives of the saints on earth requires us to connect their journeys to Jesus and acknowledge the suffering he endured. It is important to realize that God's blessings often come through suffering. No saint reaches the glory of heaven without experiencing some form of hardship. The Bible teaches us that the suffering of the saints is both a blessing and a pathway to glory because it allows us to participate in Jesus' life, walk the path he walked, and become more like him. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with a temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. These passages discuss saints' suffering as a necessary part of their union with Jesus and participation in his life. The text emphasizes that all trials resulting from suffering are common human experiences, trials anyone can face while living on earth. This means that such challenges are not exclusive to believers. They are part of the shared reality of life that can affect anyone, regardless of faith, and do not equate to the judgment that sinners may deserve. God allows his saints to endure these trials to fulfill his pleasing will for them. It's important to understand this. What God promises his children in this life is not worldly blessings or glory, but often suffering and trials. Interestingly, these very sufferings and trials can be seen as the blessings and glory for the saints in Christ. Thus, the life of every saint includes suffering, which God has permitted to accomplish his will. However, the idea that suffering and trials can be blessings and sources of glory is often difficult to grasp. When we face challenges, be it poverty, physical illness, family issues, relationship struggles, or any other form of suffering, they can bring immense pain and sorrow. When we feel hopeless and discouraged, finding the strength to rise again becomes hard. We must remember the promise that God gives us in the midst of our struggles. He uses our sufferings and trials as part of his grace to fulfill his will for us. This includes completing our salvation, revealing the glory of Jesus, and shaping us to be more like him. This is a unique blessing that believers experience. That's why we are encouraged to rejoice in our participation in Christ's suffering. God invites us to look forward to the greater joy that lies beyond our struggles. By reflecting on the lives of Jesus and Joseph, we can find reassurance and trust in God's plan. He reminds us that our present sufferings are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. As God's children, we will surely inherit the heavenly glory of Jesus, even as we endure suffering here on earth. We are called to believe that our current challenges are used by God to help us become more like Jesus, ultimately leading us to the glory of heaven, where we will be completely transformed to be like Him. It's important to remember that our suffering is not just my suffering, but our suffering. We must see it as a shared experience within one body. Jesus has united all believers to share together in His suffering. When one member of the body suffers, all the other members are affected as well. Through the suffering of one, the church and its members can experience the blessings that God provides and reach glory together. This is how God accomplishes our salvation. When we face suffering, we should place our trust in Him and pray that God's will for the church, the body we belong to, will be fulfilled. The fellowship we share, even in times of suffering, is precious in Christ. Jesus also partakes in our suffering and fellowship for our salvation. Consider Joseph's life. He reached glory through suffering, and in doing so, he and his family were united and blessed to share in that glory. Similarly, when Jesus endured suffering, He not only achieved glory for Himself, but also invited us, who are united with Him, to partake in that glory. Just as Joseph's suffering ultimately benefited his brothers, Jesus' suffering benefits us. In our own experiences of suffering, God can work through us so that others, who are connected to us, can also benefit and share in the glory. This is why the Apostle Paul rejoices in his sufferings for the sake of his fellow believers. He understands that his own afflictions are linked to the body of Christ, the church. Paul willingly goes to where he suffers for the benefit of the church, just as Jesus did, and he actively prays to experience Jesus' suffering. Joseph faced numerous sufferings and trials, as highlighted in today's text. First, he was despised by his brothers and sold into slavery. He ended up in Egypt as a servant in the house of Potiphar, the captain of the guard. Despite being the favorite son of Jacob, Joseph found himself in a lowly position, serving and obeying Gentiles. However, even as a servant, he remained faithful to God and approached this work with sincerity and diligence. This commitment earned him Potiphar's trust, and he was eventually put in charge of all the possessions in the household. Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 6. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house, and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Joseph was not only a faithful servant, but also young and handsome. Potiphar's wife constantly tempted him, asking him to sleep with her, as mentioned in verse 10, which says she approached him daily. However, Joseph stood firm, refusing her advances because he did not want to sin against God, as highlighted in verse 9. Despite his integrity, Joseph did not receive praise or reward from his master. Instead, Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of attempting to rape her, which made Potiphar very angry, leading to Joseph being thrown into prison. During this time of suffering, Joseph remained focused on God. He served diligently and faithfully, trusting in the Lord and obeying His commands. Sadly, he continued to face adversity. He endured the hatred of his brothers, was sold into slavery, and now he faced wrongful imprisonment. Isn't this so unfair? Why do hardships and trials always seem to come into his life? It wasn't due to his sin or any fault of his own. At that time, Joseph likely didn't understand what God's purpose was or what he was meant to accomplish through his suffering. He may have felt resentful toward God, become discouraged, or even despaired. However, if you look closely at today's text, there's a recurring theme. Each time Joseph faces suffering, is humbled, or comes close to death, it's mentioned that God was with him and made him successful or prosperous. Genesis chapter 39, verses 2, 3, and 23. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. The prison keeper paid no attention to anything in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. The term successful appears at critical junctures in Joseph's life, both when he becomes Potiphar's servant and while he is in prison. Interestingly, this success is marked by periods of deep humility and suffering. In essence, the adversity Joseph faced was part of a greater journey towards success. This prompts an important question. What does success truly mean in this context? In a worldly sense, we often associate success with comfort and achievement, leading us to wonder why God didn't spare Joseph from hardships. Why didn't he prevent Joseph from being enslaved, clear his name from false accusations, or save him from imprisonment? Shouldn't we consider God's plan as successful only when Joseph ultimately rose to the position of Egypt's prime minister? These reflections highlight a profound truth. The suffering endured by the saints can be an integral part of their eventual success. It challenges us to reconsider our definitions and expectations of success in light of faith and endurance through trials. There is often a misunderstanding regarding the nature of success as depicted by the saints in the Bible. True success for the saints involves the faithful fulfillment of God's will, which He has instilled in them, all achieved through His sovereign power and grace. Specifically, God's intention was to mold Joseph to resemble Jesus, guiding him to follow the same path and ultimately attain the glory of Jesus through his suffering. This concept represents a form of heavenly success or prosperity. In this context, Joseph's suffering was not in vain. Rather, it was a means by which God enabled him to prosper. In the same way, the life of Jesus exemplified success, and this success extends to all the saints who live in Him. While each of our lives may unfold differently, we share a common thread: the opportunity for true prosperity. But what specific type of prosperity did Joseph achieve through his suffering? This question points to essential elements that accompanied Joseph's successful life, as described in the Psalms. Psalm 105, verses 17 through 19. He has sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. Until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. What was the pleasing will of God that he accomplished through Joseph's suffering? God refined Joseph with his word during his trials, as the word of the Lord tested him. This means that God used his word to strengthen and purify Joseph's faith. In other words, Joseph's suffering served to deepen his trust in God's promises, enabling him to remain steadfast in faith until God's word was fulfilled. Thus, the success of the saints lies in the refining of their faith through suffering. This process of refinement through God's word was ultimately how his promise to Joseph was brought to completion. We see that the promise given to Jacob was fulfilled in Joseph's life. But what was that promise? Genesis chapter 27, verse 29. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. This shows that God refined Joseph through suffering to fulfill his promise, that Joseph would become lord over his brothers and be honored by all people. But why did Joseph have to endure suffering to attain this glory? Because the promise in Genesis chapter 27 ultimately points to Jesus. Just as Jesus had to suffer before entering his glory, Joseph's life foreshadows this path. He shared in Christ's sufferings, followed the journey Christ would take, and bore witness to his future glory. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus had to be made perfect through suffering so that he could lead many sons to glory. This means he had to endure refinement through God's word in suffering, not only for his own glory, but to bring his brothers into it, so they might dwell together as one family in eternal love. Joseph followed this same path, becoming like Jesus. Likewise, all saints walk this road of suffering and refinement until they attain the full glory of Christ. God allows suffering and trials to purify our faith and make us better witnesses to Jesus. The glory Joseph attained through suffering was not merely a worldly position of power in Egypt. More importantly, it was the glory of a Savior who, with love, forgave the brothers who persecuted him, reconciled with them, and saved them from famine and death. In the same way, Jesus reaches glory through suffering, where he forgives sinners in love, reconciles them to himself, and saves them from sin and death. The glory awaiting us after suffering and refinement through the gospel of the cross is also a place where we extend forgiveness and reconciliation through Jesus' love. To reach this glory, we must follow the path of suffering that Jesus walked and be refined by the gospel. Therefore, suffering in the life of a believer is not an end in itself, but a process that through endurance by the word leads to hope. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Just as Joseph's suffering brought benefit to his brothers, and Jesus' suffering brought salvation to us, our suffering also serves the greater good of the church. As members of Christ, Our suffering is not merely for personal growth or success, but for the well-being of the entire body, the church. This is why the Apostle Paul rejoices in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the church. However, suffering is not eternal. Our trials are temporary, and far greater eternal glory awaits us beyond them. Glory that far outweighs our present sufferings. On the day of Jesus' return, the entire church and all the saints will fully share in His glory. We will live in perfect love and forgiveness, and suffering will no longer be necessary, for refinement will be complete. Until then, the saints must undergo the refining process of the gospel through suffering. It is a spiritual battle, fought by holding on to God's love, Christ's grace, and the hope of heaven with unwavering faith. Through this process, we grow into the full stature of Christ and ultimately reach glory. James chapter 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love Him. To receive the crown of life, God refines us through His word in temporary suffering and trials. This is His pleasing will for us. Therefore, Scripture calls us to rejoice in suffering. Though it is difficult, may we trust in the gospel, hold fast to God's promises, follow the path of Jesus, grow in His forgiving love, and patiently endure with joy, knowing that the eternal glory of heaven awaits us after this suffering.